Live from the heart of Los Angeles, this is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright
lights. We have tonight's guest, psychologist, researcher, and author, Reverend Dr. Karen E. Harris.
Night sky. Look at the night sky.
And performance guest, Sheldon Zero. I am Mark Leger, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
A funny thing happened to me on the way to this show today. Well, actually, it didn't happen today. It started about 2 months ago. A family member asked me to do something for them for a particular date that was coming up this week. And it was something I just didn't want to do. And I had all the reasons why I didn't want to do it, but I would do anything for a family member that I could, and I could do this actually fairly easily. But it's not just that I didn't want to, but I also felt like I shouldn't. And I had consternation over this, as in, am I coming up with reasons why I shouldn't because I don't really want to do it? And so it took a while of thinking, and I had to do some soul searching here, because this family member was insisting that this is something I could and should and needed to do. As I was preparing for the show and I was thinking of this particular situation, I did remember, and that I'd not noted, that this family member never said, you know, you're a bad person if you don't, or you're being selfish, or never anything like that. Just kept politely asking. So that's good. I'm glad I noted that. In the end, I didn't do it. And I said I wasn't going to do it, and I said it kindly and nicely, and I said, I actually think this is something that you're gonna do on your own, and it's gonna be good that you do. And as time passed, I got more confirmation that it was good, and why it was good that I wasn't doing it, and this person was doing it on her own. In the end, this event came and went, the date came and went, and this person said to me this week after this event, I am so glad you didn't do that. I am so glad you let me do that. And I thought, did I just tap into something and didn't know it, in that this was part of this person's journey, or this experience, this soul experience, or something that was really big for this person. And if I were able to tap into that more often, what a better world this would be, what a better life experience I would have in those around me. And it certainly would be easier on me. And I have a feeling we're going to learn a little bit about that as well with our guests in a conversation that I can't wait to start. Mark, you know what I'm talking about.
Wow, do I? You know, I was thinking about something this morning that this brings up again, which I was pondering the fact that we spend our early years learning how to use our minds. And then we spend the rest of our lives learning how not to use our minds.
Oh, wow.
And thinking about how you do have access to that. And we do have access to that. And those moments always happen when we unplug and when we let go and when we, you know, allow that flow and that connection to happen. And I can't wait for tonight's conversation.
Yeah, and actually, or when we're in the shower. So
exactly.
So this is a funny title, probably the funniest we've ever had. It's our episode 711 here on the Life Changes Show. That's funny too, actually. And the title is Discover Why You Get Good Ideas in the Shower. It's actually the tagline to the book that we're going to be talking about. about with our guest today. And the book is Psychology of the Soul and the Paranormal. Our guest is a practicing psychologist. She's a researcher. She's a lecturer and an author, Reverend Karen E. Herrick. Reverend Dr. Karen E. Herrick, welcome to the Life Changes Show.
Thank you so much. It's so nice to be here.
It's great to have you here. And we have so many questions. And the first one is, why do we get good ideas in the shower?
Okay. Well, this came about when I was watching Oprah on TV about a few years ago. And she has a Super Soul Sunday show where she interviews spiritual people. So she had this spiritual expert on. And she said, how come I get good ideas in the shower? And he said he didn't know. And she then went on to explain that someone said that it's because the water is hitting the back of her neck. And at this time, I was in my family room, probably folding clothes, saying, it's your vagus nerve. It's hitting your vagus nerve at the back of your neck. And that's why you get good ideas. So most anatomy books show the vagus at the base of your skull only. But the vagus travels. It's the 10th and longest nerve in your body. And it travels from the top of your head, down past your amygdala, around your neck, down your spinal column, into your heart, and then down into your stomach. And it's this nerve that makes us, and a mediums too, if you're going to go to a medium, sensitive to subtle vibrations. And I think it's where we get intuition. And I think that's what you were doing with that family member, that you had this intuition. Number one, you had resistance because you didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
But you also had intuition. There was something there that was saying, no, she should do this. I could hear that, you know, in your voice as you were explaining it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but from my studies, I believe that intuition comes to us through this nerve, and the vagus is a conduit through which electromagnetic energy flows, chemical substances link with electricity, and bring thoughts into us through our spiritual body. So that's another whole thing we can go into, that humans have two bodies. You have a physical body and a spiritual body. But I don't know if you want to go there. So
I do.
Okay. All right.
But before we do, actually, this vagus nerve can we touch it? Obviously, the water excites it or opens it up or something. Can we massage it? What can we do to connect? Allow it to connect better?
Well, you can breathe. You can do vagus breathing.
Oh.
Which is you breathe in to the count of four and then breathe out as long as you can go. So it's just a longer out breath tells the vagus nerve that everything's okay. And why does it do that? It was founded in the 1700s and it was called the pneumogastric nerve. So that Darwin said that this nerve connected our stomach to our brain and then to our heart. And he was correct. And then there was a Dr. Porges who studied this for 40 years. And I think he started writing books about 5 or 6 years ago. And he talks about how it helps you with post-traumatic stress and anxiety because, you know, doing this breathing calms the nerve down. So I went for a workshop with him at Cape Cod, and it was very interesting because I wanted to help my clients that were depressed or had post-traumatic stress and be able to calm down better. And so somehow, you know, you can tell somebody when you get up in the morning, you're more depressed. So exercise. Well, that works sometimes if somebody's really motivated. But when I say you have this nerve, and I have this huge poster in my office showing them this nerve, because where else are they going to see it other than in my office and or maybe a doctor's office? But anyway, this is the nerve that comes into the top of your head and blah, blah, blah. And I show them all that. Now, so if you breathe in to the count of four and then out and you keep doing that, your stomach is going to calm down. So you take somebody with post-traumatic stress, maybe from, you know, a war and they hear a backfire tire and all that. And they think, oh, somebody's shooting me. And then you can say, no, you know, here you are in Los Angeles or New Jersey and you're fine. So just breathe. And they keep breathing and that calms down the fact that their stomach was triggered, which told their brain danger, danger. and their heart rate went up. And the more breathing they do, they calm the heart rate down.
So is that the image? Actually, that's part of the image that we're seeing on the cover of your book, Psychology of the Soul and the Paranormal, right?
Yes.
So the other part of that, there's a little caption that says, and other important facts about your spiritual body. So I'm assuming this goes into the, we have two bodies.
We have two bodies. The spiritual body is located in your solar plexus, your stomach. And sometimes it's called your astral body, your etheric body, your radiant body, your resurrection body. It has lots of words, which is one of the problems with spirituality, because there's so many different words that describe the same thing. But from the perspective of the astral body, the physical body is just a machine that functions on the physical plane. During the day, or when you're conscious, the astral body coincides with the physical. So it's stuck inside you, right? And it stays there. So the only way you know you have one, now you have to be clairvoyant to even know or to even see you have a spiritual body, which is what makes this whole thing so confusing. So let me see. When your spiritual body extends outside of your physical body, it extends about 5 to 8 inches, and that's where you get your aura from. So that's one way that you can see it if you're clairvoyant. But it's stored in your solar plexus, and you have to be clairvoyant to see it. Now, what is the purpose of it? The purpose of it is to take your soul to the other side when you die. And I don't believe you die, so I say usually when you so-called die. And then you go and you become a spirit, and you start another life over there, which we could talk about someday. But that's what the spiritual body's purpose is, because your soul is immortal. It wasn't born, it was created, and it needs to go to the other side.
One of the things that it made us all interested in hearing this conversation from you is that you're a doctor in psychology. You have so many letters behind you, LCSW, LMSW, CADC. This is somebody talking to us about spirituality who's been trained in the sciences, and we haven't always heard a conversation that bridges these two.
I know. And that's really what I'm trying to get out there, is more people need to know this, because I teach webinars on the internet, you know, for other therapists, and regular people can go on also. But when I've taught to them, and I continue to do so, they get so excited because it explains so much. And I've just become a scientifically interested because of my research. And my research started out with people being in grief, and they would come and we would talk for 9-10 months. And some people, usually they're in a lot of grief because they feel guilty. And no matter, you know, how wonderful I am in the therapy room, they still feel guilty. So I said, okay, I'd like you to go see a medium. And the people that I had said, suggested that they go to see a medium went. And when they came back, the guilt was gone, because a medium is a person that can link to the other side and describes who is coming in. We can't guarantee, like, your mother's going to come in, or your father. But this one gentleman I'm thinking about, he had his parents die within the last year, and his aunt and uncle died 18 months ago. And then his wife died on the kitchen floor when he came down one morning. So it was a shock. And he's left with these two boys to take care of. And I've got to get him out of this grief. And luckily, the wife was a twin. And I had seen the twin sister years ago. And she called me and said, I went to a medium right after she died, and I know where she is, and she's fine. Okay. So I told him I wanted him to go to a medium, and because this wasn't working, and we had to work more on parenting. That's what I was concerned about, were the boys. And he had no idea really how to do that. So anyway, I finally convinced him to go. And he went. And when he came back to my office, his shoulders were down and he was relaxed. And he said, well, she came in and she's over there, and it's not my fault she had the heart attack. I said, well, I'm glad she told you that, because he had so much guilt about it. And she told me what to do. We got to work on this one boy first. Okay. And he says, but I'm not going back. I said, I don't want you to go back. You went, you know, you could speak to her at any time through a medium. And one of the things I tell them when they go to a medium is to ask their deceased person how they would want to interact with them, you know, when they're alone. Like if I write to you, or if I talk to you, or are there some signs that you could give me, or I could, you know, how can we have a conversation that continues after this? So anyway, I didn't do that with him, but he said one of the things that helped him go was I said, well, your sister-in-law went, and she's not going through the guilt you've gone through, right? No. And so anyway, he did go, and I had that. And so then I've been, you know, really talking about mediumship. And then I wanted to know how it worked, because one of the things that I believe that I've taught my people is how their unconscious works. And so that when they come to therapy, they have an idea of how this is going to work, about, you know, you have an ego, you have a conscious, you have an unconscious. And the more that you come in here, and we write letters to, you know, people you're upset with, and you cry and you use the rubber bat and you do all these things, your unconscious, you're going to alleviate the unconscious. All that material is going to come up into your consciousness. And pretty soon your soul is going to come up, and you'll believe that you had to find out the purpose of your soul. And when your soul connects with your personality, that's when you're the happiest. So I would show them all that, and they got better because they knew there was a system. And even if they didn't understand it in the beginning, they still understood that they were going to have to go through some, you know, negative feelings. And that was good, because that makes the unconscious lower. And then your soul and your can come up and meet your personality. So anyway, I wanted to know, how does this mediumship thing work, you know? And anyway, so that's how I got started in all this.
Wow. I'm listening to all of this, and it's reminding me why I also chose to share that personal story during the monologue, because I also was thinking, when it comes to interpersonal relationships, whether that's family or friends or romantic, or children or parents, that potentially, like, we can't heal the problems between us because it's not just about what we're struggling with in this moment. It's about potentially something bigger, and something we might have even chosen before we got here, right?
That's right. Yeah. I believe, you know, you choose your parents, you choose your life. And when you come down, there is a soul purpose, and there's something that you've agreed to up there. And, but you forget when you come in, the veil comes down and you don't know. So that's part of our job is to find out.
So speaking of choosing our family, I love this video that we posted on our website for the page for you, Karen, and it's the video, Grandma, What is a Soul? It is so wonderful that you wrote a book, and it started because of a question your grandson asked you. So he chose his grandma, probably, right?
Well, he chose his mom, who had his, yeah, that's right.
So we just have 1 minute, but can you, before we take a quick break, but can you share a piece of that?
Sure. He said, Grandma, I don't like to talk about this very often, which we had never talked about it, but I don't want you to die. And I said, well, you have to be really, really old to die. And I'm not that old yet. But when I do die, my soul will come back and I'll watch over you as an ancestor. So he says, you know, Grandma, what is a soul? And then I thought, I have a PhD in this. So I said, it's a spiritual part of a person, and it's a part that's connected to God, and it contains the plan for your life. And you have, and do I have one? Yes, you have one and I have one. And where is it? It's in your unconscious. And so then I had to explain that your mind is divided into two parts, a conscious and an unconscious. And the conscious part, we're talking right now consciously, and your unconscious part is invisible. And so that was how we started the story.
And so there's a book. So the book is exactly that. What is a soul?
Grandma, what is a soul?
Grandma, what is a soul? And so we're talking about today the psychology of the soul and the paranormal. Discover why you get good ideas in the shower and other important facts about your spiritual body. Our guest is Reverend Karen E. Herrick, PhD. And so you could, the book is available where books are sold, and you could learn more about Karen at Karen Herrick. That's HERRICK.com. We're going to get to learn more from Karen when we come back, and potentially learn how we start discovering what our mission is or what our soul is saying with Karen when we come back. And later on, we're going to have our Ask Dorothy segment and then our performance segment with our guest, Sheldon Zero, otherwise known as Bent Reed. And he'll tell us why Bent Reed, all when we come back here on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition right after this.
Want to connect with amazing people who are committed to making a difference? From the Heart Tribe is a platform, community, and movement with the purpose of bringing like-minded humans together to help animals and the environment in order to gain a stronger connection and understanding of the world around us. They're dedicated to effectuating positive change by empowering individuals to organize meaningful and engaging experiences that build compassion for animals and the natural environment. Their founders and members' passion is to inspire others to actively get involved in their homes, their communities, and the world, to raise awareness about the issues we face, and most of all, to be part of the solution. Through their efforts, they have also accomplished some amazing and tangible achievements. Their Pickup for Paradise beach cleanups have collected over 50,000 pieces of foreign debris. And also, thanks to animal rescue and recovery volunteers, over 30% of the volunteers have become vegan or reduced their meat intake. Daily habits make a big difference. Please join any of their upcoming events by going to fthtt.org and signing up for their newsletter. You can also follow on Instagram and Facebook at From the Heart Tribe. Have you felt inspired to meditate but you just can't? Do you suffer from anxiety, but fidget toys just make you more fidgety? Want to replace negative self-talk in your head that keeps bringing you down? Introducing the latest self-help solution, Phi Beads. Transformational beaded jewelry inspired by ancient wisdom, science, math, and psychology. All Phi Beads are designed to incorporate the powerful Fibonacci sequence, nature's mathematical formula that has shaped our existence from the beginning of time. The Fibonacci sequence, also known as the golden mean or the golden ratio, is recognized by our conscious and unconscious mind and resonates as order out of chaos, like you see in plants, flowers, seashells, ocean waves, the pyramids, and in our own body. Not only beautiful, they feel good to wear. Phi Beads can help anchor tranquility, positivity, focus, and structure in your life by doing the Phi Meditation. Phi Meditation helps you harness the power of I Am for intention, affirmation, and manifestation. Affirm the life you want. Get your set of Phi Beads at PhiBeads.com. That's Phi, P-H-I, Beads.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at LifeChangesShow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
Wow, talk about life changes. We're learning so much with our guest, practicing psychologist, researcher, lecturer, and author, and so much more, mother and grandmother, Reverend Karen E. Herrick, Dr. Reverend Karen, or Reverend Dr. Karen. Karen, one of the things that I'm noticing that we're bringing out in the Life Changes Show is new words. I notice when I make hashtags or when I do searches, a lot of the words that we bring out on our show are new to the world. And I don't know if these are new to the world or just new to me. Neurotheology, what's that?
Well, that was done, I think that was done about 20 years ago, if I remember correctly, from some doctors in Philadelphia. And what they did was they studied people that were meditating, these deep meditators, And they found the part of the brain where they go when they're in deep meditation. And they called that the God gene. And that was called neurotheology.
And how do we use that?
Well, I believe that Jung said that we all had a God image. And how we use it is, I think you kind of wake up in life and you realize that you need to be more spiritual, whatever that means. And you go along in life following a pattern. Let's just say I was a daughter of an alcoholic, and I knew what was wrong with my father, but I really never knew what was wrong with my mother. Like, why did she stay with him? And why did she say, well, we'll ask dad. Why are we asking him? Because, he drinks and he's not always, standing up straight. And I had all these feelings so that I thought to myself as a kid, when I grow up, if I ever marry an alcoholic, I'm not going to stay with him. Well, so of course, you marry what is familiar to you.
Oh, really?
Yes. And so then I think your soul journey really starts. After you leave your family and you say, I'm not going to be like them, and you do all these different things. Jung also says that it's the unlived part of the parents that really affect the child. Well, my mother's unlived part was she never could leave. She was codependent. We have a word for that now. But anyway, once I met my alcoholic husband and fell, deeply in love with him, because he was, even though the alcoholism wasn't the same, my father went to a bar and stayed there. And, my ex-husband went, worked for a three-letter company. He came home at night, went straight to the bar in the library, but it looked different. And, so you don't realize for years that you really have an alcoholic. It just doesn't look the same. And so then I realized I had to do something, and I wasn't staying because that was part of what my soul really was telling me, right? You have to leave. And when you leave, then you really start to develop your personality. So your soul as a spirit part of you continues to be developed from your life story. And you have to ask yourself, how did I come to be? And who are my parents and my grandparents? And what messages was I given when I was growing up? Well, I was given you stay. Because my mother would always say, I made my bed and I have to lay in it, right? And I thought, no, you don't. No, you can leave. So then my soul, I think, got very energized and took 2 years to get divorced. And I had gone back to college because I thought I'm going to have to support three daughters. And then my life started to be different.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. A new word for me. Another new word for me. One more. I don't even know how to pronounce this. Is it a pretergression?
Oh, pre-digression. Okay. Pre-digression was from my doctorate with Raymond Moody, who created the term near-death experiences. And he's a lovely Southern gentleman, and he had this word in one of his books that I read, and I asked him to explain it to me. And he said, well, it has to do with mental illness, and it has to do with what they know before. And I'm thinking, I don't get it. And I don't have an explanation that I really could understand. So I'm thinking about it and thinking about it. And I'm running these spirituality groups where seven or eight people come and they sign up for 12 weeks and then 12 more weeks. They lasted 2 or 3 years because these people wanted something more than therapy. And so anyway, we're talking about spirituality. And this one, a woman comes in after Christmas, and she was Catholic, and she said that she had a horrible depression after Christmas, and everybody in the group and me, and we had all told her that you have to meditate and take a walk, have some tea. You've got to get yourself out of this when you fall into it. So anyway, she said, well, what I did was I decided after all the other stuff, the tea and the walk, that I would meditate. And when I meditated, I saw the three kings, and they came to me. And they bowed to me. And I felt like I was really worth something. And they had these gifts that they gave to me. So you see, that goes in with the neurotheology that she meditated But she predigressed what old information, because she's a Catholic. So she knew about the three kings. And one of the things that she was learning about and being raised in her family was Wednesday's child is full of woe. So she was raised with that her whole life. And she was like determined to become depressed. And then the three kings came. And she said, you know, I woke up and I felt great ever since. She said that they thought I was worthy of a visit from them. Now, this is Jungian psychology, because some other kind of psychology might say this woman isn't really crazy. I mean, how many people see the three kings? But she did, and I knew she did. And I understand from Jung that we all have symbols that are in our soul that we don't even know about, but they come out at times like that. That was my predigression story. And I said, now I understand what he was talking about. So I love it. I just love it.
Now I understand that more. And so as we're bringing this great conversation, sadly, to a close, because there's so much that you not just have gathered, experienced and been exposed to and supported so many other people and learned and all that, you're bringing it together in a way. As I peruse the book and we're talking about psychology of the soul and the paranormal, bringing it together in a way that kind of says your life is so much more than we've thought of it. And the sooner we tap into that, the sooner this life could be that. It could be what it's supposed to be, or could be something grander, bigger.
Yes, that's right. Because your soul has possibilities that you don't consciously know about. And it's your job to find them out.
So in your case, for example, when you said, if I ever married a man who was an alcoholic, I would leave him. So it's almost as if your soul knew as a child what it was going to go through.
Yes.
And then you did what your soul was here to do, is to have that experience, and then the experience of actually leaving. So do we look at our childhood and say, well, what are some of the things that we said as children about when I grow up, or like where's a good place to start with this?
Well, it's let's see, the Jungian model for your unconscious, as and that's what you should be doing in therapy, is working with somebody who understands you have an unconscious. There's five layers. So the first layer is your life and what happened to you, right? So then that's what you tell a therapist. Now your second layer is your parents' lives, and then how did they affect you? So that's another thing that we talk about ad nauseum, right? Because we want to get all the information. Then the third layer is your DNA, your ancestors. And you'll believe that ancestors left us with jobs to do. But, you know, a lot of us don't understand our ancestors. So he did genealogy and he encouraged his clients to do genealogy. And I have done that. And I have lots of alcoholics in the family. Then the fourth layer is your culture and where you're from, your country, and how did that affect you, right? And then the last part is yourself slash soul. And so that's what you want to know as it comes up and greets your personality. And I mean, who knew that I was supposed to be a therapist? And I really believe I was supposed to do this because I love what I do. And I love the fact that I can continually learn and research and bring all this information to other people. And, you know, it excites their lives. So that's what we want for everybody, that they have a purpose in life and that they feel passionate about it. And, you know, what more could you ask for, really?
I like it. Well, obviously, somebody working with you or somebody coming to a lecture that you share or getting the book, A Psychology of the Soul and the Paranormal, obviously those are major steps. I'm just wondering, for that last piece, the fifth part, the soul, is the soul giving us clues throughout our lives?
I think so. Let's see. I remember one day, because I just thought I was lucky about certain things. I have a story about the ghetto house that I bought once I was getting divorced, and my husband had given me $10,000, which was ridiculous, in Monmouth County, which is like Marin County in California. Go out and buy a house, because he had signed my name to papers and he got money from his company for the house, and he said we were divorced. So things like that, you really find out what you're made of and how am I going to fight this? And you just do it, and then you become somebody you never thought you could be. And I think, I married an alcoholic that was probably much worse than my father. But then I find that most people do that. They get themselves in a situation that's even worse than what they lived, as a kid. And why? Well, because this is your path. And we're here to have pain, but we're here to work through the pain. And what comes out of it, like Jung said, we turn metal into gold. Well, that was the gold that people found and that people do find. I have another life, and it's making me happy.
Wow, Karen, thank you for sharing that life with all of us and through your writings. And I look forward to future conversations with you and future sharings. The book Psychology of the Soul and the Paranormal is available where books are sold. The author listed is as Karen, Rev. Karen E. Herrick, Herrick, PhD. And of course, you could go directly to Karen's website and learn more about her and connect with her there and her work, KarenHerrick.com. Karen, what an absolute pleasure. So grateful that you are doing what you're doing, that it's making you happy and helping us learn and grow.
Thank you so much for having me. And Filippo, it's KarenEHerrick.com. There has to be an E in there
Oh,
for the website. You pro probably It was probably a typo.
I don't have that, so I'm glad you mentioned it. So KarenEHerrick.com, and we will fix that right away on our website. So
Okay.
thank you for mentioning that.
No problem. And thank you
Okay.
for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
Our pleasure. Thank you so much. All the best to you.
Okay, and to you. Bye.
Thank you. And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Maxine in New Jersey, and I need to know if I'm on the right track. I've felt since I was a small child that I'm a special human being and have an important mission to complete. My intuition and knowing is getting even more intense, and I want to know how I can use it to be more helpful to the planet. My intuition has proven correct so many times, and I see and feel that the world is in the process of great and good change. However, when I share these thoughts and visions with my family members, they encourage me to keep my thoughts to myself, and this doesn't feel good. For the last 6 months, I've been getting the messages that we are in an ascension process and are co-creating a better world, and I am excited. I have friends who see this too, and I love my family and want to know that I can get them to join me in anticipating the more joyful and fulfilling life that I believe God has intended for us all. How can I get them on the same page with me?
My dear Maxine, you are a very special human being, and I feel you're getting in tune with our planet's wonderful future. I also see us as in a wonderful ascension process, which I define as spiritual awakening. I believe we're co-creating a more positive and wonderful world for all. However, I believe that your time will be better spent in connecting with like-minded beings and sharing your thoughts with those who are in tune with your vision rather than irritating your family members who obviously don't agree with you. I lovingly suggest that you get your friends together and have a weekly meditation circle where you can share visualizations of the kind of world you wish to see in our future. I believe this will be a better use of your time rather than trying to convince people who don't want to talk about it. Another thing you might wish to do is connect with your higher self and ask Source to connect you with the higher selves of your loved ones and share with them your vision in this way. I have discovered that often this is the best way to get through to someone with whom we have a difference of opinion. This can also be done in your weekly meditation groups. I trust you will make the most elegant choices for you and continue to see and visualize a new and better world for all.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at AskDorothy@LifeChangesShow.com.
And we'll be right back with our performance guest, Bent Reed, a.k.a. Sheldon Zero, here on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes Show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We're back. I am Filippo, and our performance guest is a musician, a singer, and a songwriter, Bent Reed, a.k.a. Sheldon Zero. Welcome, Sheldon, to the Life Changes Show.
Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate you guys having me.
It's great to have you, and thank you to Jeff Kranz for introducing us. I've been so fascinated since you told me that before music, you were a...
magician.
Magician. Would that be like prestidigitation type of magician?
That would be prestidigitation.
Oh my gosh. How do you say it?
Prestidigitation.
Prestidigitation. I like that better. And sleight of hand. Okay. So please tell us what?
Well, you know, my father was a magician, and his father was a musician and performed in vaudeville, and he was also a comedian. And I have scrapbooks from my grandfather. That's how Jeff Krantz and I are related. Through my grandfather, my father's dad, and
oh, wow.
his family and my family go back on my father's side. And I believe it might be, I'm not sure if it's his father or his mother's side, but that's how we're related. We're cousins. And he found me on ancestry.com. But my grandfather was a showman and a comedian and a MC, master of ceremonies, and was a comedian and a trumpet player. And he played in one of Rudy Valley's orchestras way back in the late 30s. but he did vaudeville and played trumpet. That was the love of his life. But my father was a magician, and he never did get into music, but he did great sleight of hand with cards, and he learned from one of the very best card men in the world. His name was Jack McMillan, and he's still revered as a, he's no longer alive, but he was a very, he was never a professional magician, but he was an amateur who was one of the best in the world. So, but my father sat at his feet for a couple of years as a young teenager, and then was really good most of his, you know, a life. And he performed all over the country and on TV a few times in his younger life. And then when I got to be, you know, I watched it all my life. And when I got to be about 18, I started seeing, you know, how people really loved that type of thing. And he was really able to get a lot of people to like him right away with that type of thing. And so I started asking him if he would teach me, and he did. But he only taught me one thing, one move at a time. And until I had mastered that, he would teach me the next thing. And then he taught me how to put it all together. And I learned really quick, but you know, it's something that I don't do a whole lot anymore, but I do still do it occasionally. But music was more of a passion for me. So I started, you know, I played clarinet in junior high and high school and in church as a kid. And I was always really good at the clarinet, and was always first chair, read music. Stopped playing music for probably over 20 years. And when I lived in Seattle, I told my dad one day, I said, you know, I really miss music. I think I should maybe look online and see if maybe there's like a piano or a guitar class maybe that I could take, you know, here in Seattle. And I started looking online, and there was a guitar class, but right below it, there was a class that said harmonica techniques with an emphasis on the blues. And I told my dad about that, and he said, oh, you should take the harmonica class. And I didn't know anything about
harmonica. As any dad would say, I think.
Yeah. Well, you know, he came from the 60s, and he was a fan of the Paul Butterfield blues band back then. And, you know, harmonica was kind of a cool instrument to him. And he said, you should take that. So I took that and the guitar class, and the guitar class turned out to be full. So I never did get to that. But I did go to a harmonica class that was one night per week, every Tuesday for 6 weeks. For about an hour and a half, I think the class was. And before I even got done with that class, I was already going to some blues jams. And the teacher of that class told me about 4 or 5 weeks in front of the whole class. He said, if you get any better, any faster, I'm going to have to cut your tongue out.
So. But, oh, well, yeah. I'm sure you got better and fast, and I'm glad he didn't. And it's interesting in relation to what we were talking about before with our guest, Karen, how she said when looking at our lives, look at our parents and look at our ancestors. And so how interesting that you got music and magic all from your parents and your ancestors. And also that your dad might have tapped into your soul journey, because when he says take a harmonica class, like, I don't know how often that would be said, but you've certainly taken it to a whole other level. And before we go too much further, I'd love for people to hear what we're talking about. So shall we get into your first song? Anything you want to say about that?
Sure, that'd be great. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's a song that I used to play a lot with my band. I still do, but I haven't played it a whole lot lately. But it's a great tune called Born in Chicago. And this was recorded live in Seattle probably 15 years ago.
All right. Well, here is Bent Reed, or a.k.a. Sheldon Zero, performing a pre-recorded live version of Born in Chicago here on the Life Changers Show.
Chicago.
Nice. Well, that's Sheldon Zero, a.k.a. Bent Reed. And you could look up a Sheldon on Google or look up Bent Reed.
YouTube, Facebook.
And well, on Facebook, you could Bent Reed, or you could go to SJZIRO for Sheldon Zero. And you're hearing it right if you're hearing Bent as in B-E-N-T, Bent Reed. Now, invariably, I learn things on the Life Changes Show, and you learned me something today that I love for you to share, Sheldon. I thought, Bent Reed, like, he doesn't play a reed instrument, so why Bent Reed?
Well, because the harmonica has several reeds in it. There are 10. The diatonic harmonica, which is the smaller one that has 10 holes. There's also a chromatic harmonica that has a button on the end of it that plays all of the notes. That's the one that like Stevie Wonder plays. And so that you don't really bend the notes on so much. But with the diatonic harmonica, there are 10 reeds on the reed plate top. There are 10 reeds on the plate on the bottom. And the top reeds are for the blow notes, and the bottom reeds are for the draw notes. And when you manipulate the wind and the airflow with your mouth and your breath, you can add those reeds and they work together because they're facing an opposite, but I'm facing the other way. That's why you get sound from it when you blow in or when you breathe in, blow out or breathe in. So it's blow and draw. It's just like there's only, and that's the accordion. And that when you open the bellows and close the bellows, it gives sound for blowing through the reeds. There's reeds in an accordion too. It's the same type of concept.
I did not know that.
You didn't know that?
I didn't know that either.
Okay. So, yeah.
Wow. So, actually, you're about to do a song for us where you're going to demonstrate some of that, I think, right?
Sure.
Or we're
going to
experience it.
Yeah, I can play a little for you right here live. So
okay, so is this, yeah, does this have a title?
No, not necessarily. It's just a little groove that I'm going to play for you.
Okay, very nice. Well, here's Bent Reed.
So yeah, that's and then, you know, now there's also one harmonica for every key. Now that was in the key of E on an A harmonica because there are different positions on the harmonica. So if you play an A harmonica in first position or straight harp, you would be playing it in the key of A. Second position or cross harp would be in the key of E on an A harmonica. And third position would be the key of B on a harmonica. Now this harmonica that I'm going to play right now is a C harmonica. And it sounds a little different, a little higher pitch. And there's so many different things that you can play. You don't have to just play blues. A lot of people think, oh, harmonica, we got to play some blues. But for instance, you could play something like this. There. So
That's so much fun. For a moment there, I thought you were going to be doing Beethoven's For Elise.
Well, that's basically what it was. Yeah, it was just a bluesy version of it.
A bluesy version. Well, yeah. Sheldon, that's fascinating. And it'd be great to get to hear you live. And actually, a lot of people do, because you work at two of the biggest and best blues clubs, according to you, in Nashville, right? On Bourbon Street.
Well, I have played there several times. I haven't played there in a little while since COVID came along.
Yeah.
Quite a bit. And my band and I, we were running a blues jam in Nashville every week for about 2 years. And then when COVID hit, you know, they shut down all the music venues across the whole country here in Nashville. So since then, I haven't really gotten back into the swing of things as much as I would like to. I have played a bit here and there, but I'm just kind of trying to wait until certain timing and to get things back on track the way I should get them going. But I'll get there eventually.
I hear it. Good on you. And it's obviously in your soul. And if your soul came here to do that, then the venues will open up to allow that, I'm sure.
And by the way, I just wanted to mention that I listened to your conversation earlier, and I happen to have always had good ideas for songs in the shower.
Ah. I've
several songs. And yes, and it's so weird that you guys talked about that, because I've told people like my fiance about that several times. That it seems like when I'm in the shower or around water or in water, I usually come up with really great song ideas. And I've written several songs because of an idea that I got while I was in the shower. So
and now you have scientific proof. Well, so Sheldon, thank you so much again. Sheldon Zero, I should spell that actually, Z-I-R-O, and
that's
then Bent Reed. Look him up on social media and YouTube and Facebook and search
Say
him
hello.
And enjoy him.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It was great talking with you. Filippo.
It was our pleasure. All the best to you, Sheldon.
All righty. Good night.
So with a big thank you to Sheldon Zero and a big thank you to Reverend Dr. Karen E. Herrick. That is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark Legere, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at the Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.